You in the role, priesthood, Bible, prayer, and fellowship room. I am Khalid Zapnatmanir, L, and you know.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And you know this.
There's been so many things that's held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back.
Well, greetings, everybody. You're in the Raw Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. I am Khalif Zapnatmanir. I have some kind of little bug tonight, so I'm a little bit under the weather, but I'm here nonetheless. Haven't had anything like this in a number of years. But welcome to those of you that are in the PBS radio audience and all of you that are in the Raw Room tonight. Dr. Press, how you doing, sir?
Good, fine, Doc.
Good, sir. Good to hear your voice. In the room. Glad that you're here and thankful for this day and for this new year. And of course, you gave us a pretty powerful revelation the day earlier today. And hopefully, you'll feel like talking about it a little bit tonight. You can pinch in a little bit for me. I'm waiting on some preachers here that are supposed to be coming in here from the 318 area code. But nonetheless, we're thankful for everyone that's in the room, and we bid you welcome, and we bid you greetings. 559 area code, how are you doing, my dear?
Wonderful.
You doing good?
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Well, how are things going for you so far this year?
Pretty good. Could be better, but pretty good. I won't complain.
You won't complain. All right. That sounds like a song I used to sing a long time ago. And we're thankful for you. Good to hear your voice, dear. Minister is certainly good. Wow. Let's see. Ohio, how are you, darling? Dear, how are you?
Hey, Bishop. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm thankful. I'm grateful for 2016. What about yourself?
Oh, yes. I woke up one more time. The blood's still running warm.
Good to hear your voice. Now, don't you get quiet on me tonight. Come on in. You know, you have one of those legal, intelligent minds, so we need your input tonight. So we're thankful for you. All right?
I'll try.
No, you will do just fine. All right. All right. Abednego L, Israel, Abednego, talk to me, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, Bishop.
Doing good.
I'm here with Marsha.
Oh, you with my son?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Pastor?
I don't know why he didn't call me Asa Rahu Shama.
maybe he doesn't know that name.
Now, he didn't know that I had a spiritual father that had birthed me. And I thank God for you and my ministry. And I thank you for the realization of the truth. And I thank God that I can finally be a true disciple, not of a biblical sense, but a true disciple of the truth.
All right.
And I'm looking for you for my anniversary this year, and I want to invite each and all for the third Sunday in March. Not only will be my anniversary, but it will be my ordination into the brotherhood the truth. And I'm so excited, Bishop. I don't, I'm just, words cannot express to be in your presence again. Not as far as your presence, but your proclamation, which means so much more to me.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. Give them the address there, 3-4.
Yeah, it's going to be at 3731. La Paloma Street at the Samuel Chapel Baptist Church. And I thank God that he has blessed us to Shreveport, Louisiana. And God has blessed us to do a $75,000 upgrade project remodel. And we're going to try to have everything in its proper order for my spiritual father. Be there.
I'm looking forward and I'm excited about it. You know, we've been go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead. Someone was talking.
I think that's feedback.
I thought I heard someone trying to get
I think that's a feedback.
Oh, yeah, it is a feedback. Look, I have a feedback on this line. Make my switch lines here. Just for a moment. We've been having a robust conversation in terms of some of the information that we have been sharing as we are attempting to come to the truth. And I'm switching phones. So as we are, attempting to come to a realization of the truth, we've engaged in some pretty robust conversation. And I still have a recording, even though I switched over phones. I don't know. Am I still echoing there?
Speak again. I think you're okay now.
Oh, okay, great. All right. Well, we've been talking about wealth creation through procreation or recreation. And we've been talking about the seed. We've been talking about the church. We've been talking about what is really this institution that we call the church that so many of us, including myself, have been trained in. And we are very much familiar with the doctrines and the teachings, so forth and et cetera, of the church and what the church has meant and what it has done. And I have myself been formally trained. I've gone to school and matriculated in informal training in the precepts and the dogmas and doctrines of what we call Christianity in the West. But recently there's been a surge of information that's coming out. And those of you who are anywhere close to the internet, you can see the surge of information that's being disseminated now and being distributed on the internet. I see one of my sons there, and from the California area there. Dayot, is that you? Can you hear me?
Hey, how you doing?
How you feeling today, man?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm looking for Asa. There's Asa 1 and Asa 2, you know, like there was a Hotep Akhenaten 1 and Akhenaten 2. I'm looking for Asa number 2. I saw him just a moment ago. Let me see. There he is. I got it. Okay. Asa, are you there?
I'm here. I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm feeling pretty good. Now, listen, tell me, how do you feel, both of you are young men. One of you, you're in your 30s, early 30s. The other is in the early 20s. How do you feel about this institution we call the church in light of information that you are now receiving at this time? Just say that you didn't have 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you didn't know. Tell us, when did you begin to get different information and start to feel differently about the church and what you see and what you hear? Or do you? I don't know. I may be making an assumption.
With me, I always felt different about the church. You know, when I was a young kid in my mid-teens, I just never felt any... I felt like it was a waste of time doing my mid-teens, and I just never was into it. So that's...
Could you tell me why you felt that it was a waste of time? Give me some foundation or footing for that feeling. What made you feel that way?
It was just in me. It was like when the preacher was talking, I just didn't feel him. I didn't feel like he was truly honest. I got that knack for like when I'm talking to someone, I can have a feeling where I know they're being truthful and honest with what they're speaking. And during my time in church, when the preacher preach, they'll be feeling that vibe from.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up. Say that again.
I said when the pastor used to preach at church, I just got the knack of feeling where like I could understand and feel different vibes from people. And at church, the vibe, it just wasn't right. When the pastor used to preach, I felt that he wasn't truly honest during my time.
It was something in your spirit that just didn't resonate with this.
Yes.
It just wasn't resonating, saying, not that the preacher was being dishonest or anything, intentionally. But it was just that it wasn't resonating with you as a young man at 24 years of age. Something wasn't clicking, right?
Yes, right.
So now that you are learning some other things, what are some of the other things that are helping you now to understand that feeling that you had back then that you really didn't have any reasonings for back then, but other than just a feeling? But now, do you have any reasons now that can validate those feelings? Anything that...
Yes, because of the age that we are in now, the age of Aquarius. And once I read about it, it said that, you know, the different traditions will change and humanity will finally reach its purest. And basically, like, we shifted from the age of Pisces, where during the age of Pisces, religion was founded. The Pisces was based by religion. And to the age of Aquarius, I'm putting my words a little wrong right now, but it has something to do with the Ace of Crest. That's why I feel.
Mean the information in our consciousness is rising. Our consciousness is rising. We're becoming, and by consciousness I mean we're becoming more aware, more sensitive. Whereas in the previous age, we were not as sensitive and not quite as aware. To be more precise, we just didn't have certain information, correct?
Yes, correct.
So the age of Aquarius has to do with having information.
Yes,
and I think the Bible talks about that in a couple of places. It talks about one in particular in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. Daniel is told to seal up the book. And by sealing up the book, he says that it will be sealed until the time of the end. And then at the time of the end, the book will be opened. And when the book is opened, then it says knowledge will increase. And so December the 21st, 2012, at 11:11 a.m., the sun moved out of Pisces into what many are saying is the age of Aquarius, and it'll be there for the next 2,000. Now watch this, because this number is very important. My pastor hit me on this number today. The sun stays in one constellation 2,160 years, and this is 2016, and 2 plus 1 and 6 is 9, and pastor hit me on the first, maybe you'll talk about that a little later today, and the importance of number 9 and a little later on. In just a moment. So what you're saying, in the age of Aquarius, we now have information that we did not have in previous generations and in the previous age. Pardon me. So this information that's coming is changing the way we look at institutions. And in particular tonight, we're talking about the institution, not only just of government, or the institutions of education, the institutions of economics, you know, but we're talking about the institution of religion as it stands. How are those paradigms shifting now? And in particular, with this new information, with the increase, because I know for certain that I have information now that my mother did not have, and that my father did not have. I know things about Africa that I didn't know. I know things about the Bible that I didn't know. I know things that were taken away and information that was hidden that is because of the access of the information highway, the internet. It's now accessible. I can push a button and learn things. I can go and have access to information that I did not have before. And that is changing my consciousness, and not only my consciousness, but it's changing the consciousness of the people on the planet. So, Doc, how do you feel about this,
I'm sorry, what's the last thing you said?
I said, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about this institution we call the church at? Because I know you were in church when I first met you, and you were and you were paying your tithes, and your mom was. How were you feeling about the institution back then, and how were you feeling about that?
Well, first of all, I've been in and out of church probably my whole life. If I wasn't going with my mother, I was going with my friend and his grandmother. You know, it's kind of like you spend the night over here. If I was to spend a night at my friend's grandmother's house, she said, we go to church in the morning. So that's how I really started going to church at a young age, that I stayed the night at my homeboy house, you know. So from that time on, I just been in and out to church my whole life, you know, and ran the streets here and there, a couple friends ran the streets, you know, but I kind of always kept a Bible nearby. And that time I met you, I want to say it was 2012, 2011, I had been attending the church in Richmond, and what I had found was my friend, he had brought a documentary to me around 2011. The documentary was called The Hebrew or the So-Called Negro, and it was kind of breaking down all these curses in Deuteronomy 28 and how a lot of things that were said to happen with these people in these so-called Hebrews in Deuteronomy 28 were a lot of the same events that happened to African-Americans in the Americas. So when I lined that up and it made a lot of sense to me, it made me want to dig deeper, you know, because I hadn't been educated on that in church. And I think, and for me, it had been a lack of education in the church, because a lot of what they had been teaching me from when I was little to my adulthood was a lot of the same things I had already learned and heard about from a child being in and out the church. It was, there isn't any new information coming forth in the church. So it excited my brain to look at the scripture in a different way, in a way that made sense. So I started venturing off and doing more and more studies about so-called African-American people. And around that time, I had stopped going to church, and then I ran into you. And we shared, exchanged information. And as the information you got increased, I became more intrigued, and more information increased with me doing my own studies. And I like to be in a learning environment. I feel as though I shouldn't spend time anywhere, especially a place where it's supposed to be a place of learning and a spiritual learning institution, and I'm not learning anything new, you know? So it was a waste of my time. I found out that I was learning more, researching on my own and dealing with individuals like you who were doing excess research about the word. And I like to be taught. So when all the new information came forward, it was easy for me to take a hold of it, you know, because I'm 31. So a lot of the information that came out, it wasn't hard for me to do away with the information that is still being given within the church. It was easy for me to throw it away because I haven't been invested in it that many years of my life versus a reverend or a minister who, like you said, you've been taught to preach this, you know, and you did preach it. So I could imagine it was hard for you to find out, hey, you know, the way this information has been given to me, it's been turned upside down, like it said in the scripture, or the book has been sealed. The book has been given to the unlearned, you know. So I feel the state that we're in now is a scary state for some people because, like I said, I've been in and out the church my whole life. I have people, you know, on my social media, who I've attended churches with. You know, I played in all these Christian basketball leagues and all that. And I know a lot of them think I'm tripping. But the difference between me and them is when I was really in my word, a lot of things in the word, you can't make it make sense. And I posted something that said, religion doesn't give you the answers. It stops you from asking questions, which I thought was very powerful because people my age that do attend church, they don't ask questions. And people who are older than me don't ask questions. You know, you can't. And I don't know why, but it's like if you're going to a place to learn something, you should ask questions. If my son is having a problem in school, then I say, well, why you get a bad mark on this paper? Well, I didn't know what I was doing. First thing I'm going to say is, well, why you didn't ask? So you got people unconsciously continue to go to church and they can't make sense of what's in this Bible. When Jesus says, the light of the body is the eye, if your eye be single. What does that mean? But you've been going to church this whole time and you've never been taught what it means. And you don't know how to make sense of it. So I think
that's
a lot
true.
Of people...
Let me jump in the conversation. Let me jump in the conversation for just one moment. 318-639. Welcome to the line. Thank you for coming in. How you doing? 318-639. Thank you for coming in. How are you?
Good,
how you doing?
That's right.
Great, great. We welcome and bid you welcome to this line and to this royal room tonight. Now, let me jump in the conversation just for one moment. I wrote a book, and you enrolled in the college where I was lecturing.
Yes.
From this book, in African and African-American religious history, I made a startling discovery. And to my knowledge, I don't know if anyone has ever done this before. I haven't researched this, so I have to be very careful about how I posit my statement in this context. But I found the word nigger in the Bible in a positive light. So I wrote a book about it. But the thing that really baffles me is that after I found this word, nigger, the N-word, in the Bible, in a positive construct, it seems that the church is in denial about its existence in the Bible in a positive light. Because it is there. It is there in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now, I like to think of myself as some kind of fledgling, if not an apprentice word smith. I like words. I like dealing with words. And another word, as I found this word and wrote this book and began to teach and to do research, it opened up excuse me, it opened up a world of information to me. And one of the things that it opened up, and this is why I want to take the discussion tonight, and I want to ask Frank how he feels about this. We're talking about the church, and we're talking about words. And you mentioned the pineal gland, Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. Now, this definitely says the physicology, the body is physical. And if thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. So we're talking about something in the body, but we were never told what that something in the body is. Matthew 6:22. Now, again, here's this word, Acts 13:1, nigger, but it is made pejorative. It is convoluted. It is changed. They've gnawed away through a phonetics in a shifting of the word, and now the word Niger, or which is spelled N-I-G-E-R, is pronounced with a J. And so that led me to look into the origin of the letter J. And when I found out that the letter J is only 500 years old. Now, this is not emotional, it's not religious, it's just academics. It's only 500 years old. You cannot make the J older than 500 years old. And so now, Frank, I know you want to, hold on here.
Now, that what confused me. What confused me and what's worrying me is the word Jesus. Reverend Abbott, are you there?
Yeah.
Reverend Abbott?
I see a radio in the background.
Well, let me see if I can find Reverend Abbott. There he is.
Reverend Abbott.
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you help me with the word Jesus? I'm troubled about that word, in which he's saying the word J, 500 years less old. Can you explain a bit more to me about the word Jesus?
Well, it is really Yeshua, the Y. And Constantine and all of those fellows, they really tried to eliminate the Y. Even in your English vowels, you got A-E-I-O-U. And they taught us in school to say sometimes Y, sometimes.
But that's not what I'm talking about. And now this is what I want to say. I want you to listen to one second.
Well, I wasn't through, but I'm going to let you go, Frank.
I know, but in 1564, Sir John Hawkins brought our people on the ship called Good Ship Jesus. Now, I'm confused about the word Jesus. That's why I want you to explain to me. I'm not talking about what you're talking about. I'm talking about explaining Jesus to me.
Well, I know about Sir John Hawkins, the ship of Lebec, the Good Ship Jesus, and I struggle with the fact, as a black Baptist preacher, to think about the first ride of my ancestors, and I struggle with the fact, and I ask the question to myself, wouldn't my ancestors who got off the ship, would they recognize the name Jesus, and this was their slave ship? And you know, through a process of time, many, many years, and by tricky counsel, we know that Jesus, Jesus Christos, Kyrios, has been pushed upon us, and we've been calling on that name for 500 years over here in America, and I understand he hasn't showed up. He showed up, the Pope, he came in the cloud, on a plane, went to Harlem, and left the same way he came. So I'm aware, I'm conscious of the fact that his name is Yeshua. And okay, even the very existence of it is beyond flesh and blood.
And, well, that brings up a question in my mind. A couple of things. My mind is having a fireworks of 4th of July. It's just my mind is just exploding. Because the name of God or God's Son, in a very level, let's take this in an archetypal kind of, let's peel the layers of this. Now, how can the name of God, first of all, be changed, is what you're telling me, by man? What prerogative does a man have to change God's name? That's one. Then two, to use that name in the mass genocide of people worldwide, and to kill them and enslave them and to brutalize and to oppress them for over 1,000 years. Because if I understand history correctly, and going back to 1095-96, it was the Christian church that authorized the Crusades. And the Crusades went around the globe, or went around starting in the Constantinople, and the insurge of Islamic power began to use the edge of the sword and bloodshed to force Christianity upon people. And then the Crusades continued. And then finally we get down to the Inquisitions and the torture and the public executions and public tortures done by the inquisitors, who were church people. Now, this is before there was a Protestant church. Keep this in your mind. Now, what I'm saying is, we peel this back and we begin to look into the bloody history of this institution that we call the church. What, in fact, are we looking at in the West when we look at Christianity? And we're looking at, one, something has happened where man has taken the prerogative, the right, to change God's name. And we do know that it was a Roman monk, excuse me, I'm wrestling with this bug, by the name of Galileo, who was experimenting with the name, the tetragrammaton, the four consonants of God's name, and he put a hook on the bottom of one of the letters to create the J. Just a little bit over 400 years ago, almost 500 years, this sound, J sound, did not exist
before 500 years ago. So now what did the people do? For the first 1,500 years, now if we count up, first 1,500 years, we're in 2016. So for the first 1,500 years, if the J sound did not exist, who were they calling on? Now, if the name Jesus now is the only name, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name Jesus Christ. If that is the only name, then the people for the first 1,500 years, there's no way they could be saved. So the foundation of the church is sitting on something that is not. Jesus didn't exist for the first 1,500 years.
Bishop, I can hardly hear you. There's a background. I can hardly hear what you're saying.
You can hardly hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a background noise.
Okay, yeah, your voice kind of faint.
Okay. Can you hear
there's
me now?
There's a background noise.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I see it. For the first 1,500 years, there was no J sound. But if that is the foundation on which the church now stands, and now the only name is Jesus, Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is specifically stated. That name is specifically stated as Jesus Christ. What did the people do? What did the people do before that name? Because the Jesus or J did not exist. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
It did not exist until 500 years ago, until Galileo created the J sound, and it didn't come into use until popular use until the late 1600s, 1700s. If you look at the original King James authorized version, 400-year anniversary edition, there is no J in it at all because the J did not enter. Now, my question as we peel this, and this is archetypal, different layers of information in here, why is the church or why does the church turn its nose and his eyes and close his ears away from this truth? What is the problem here? I want to be quiet. I'm going to ask the chancellor from Ohio. I see him in the room. What is the problem here? Why is the church now stay? I hope I asked the right question, so you can stay with me. What is the problem, Chancellor? Are you there? Did he leave? He may have left. Hello? I think he left on me. All right. We're back in Shreveport. What's the problem? I'm trying to make this real plain. What's the problem?
What's the problem?
Yes, sir.
Well, the problem is, Bishop, that Jesus said, he said, you...
Who said
that? Jesus of the Bible said that you are sheep in the midst of wolves. He was talking to Israel. And the wolves was the Catholic Church, which all other churches...
But hold on a second. This fellow that we're calling Jesus, there cannot be anybody with that name 2,000 years ago.
I know it. That's the whole deception.
It is literally impossible.
He did not exist in the flesh.
Hmm?
He did not exist in the flesh as we have been taught. That is the big pill in all of these churches, even the one that I pastor.
That's why I asked you the question about Jesus. That's exactly why I asked you. Explain it to me. Why?
Why what?
He did not exist.
Can't no child be born without the positive and the negative energies. For a baby to be born from the human body, somebody gotta have some sex. It did not happen.
This is
an allegory pointing to an astronomical truth and a process that goes on in the body.
Okay.
And our churches at this particular moment and in time, they can't handle it. And most preachers don't know it. And I'm beat up in my brain every time I stand before my congregation because I know it. I only found it out 4 years ago.
Now, I have another question. One other question to you. The symbol on top of the church, you tell me exactly what that means.
It is a penis.
Explain it to me, strong, a steeple.
Well, it is a symbol that, now, the folk with all this information know where it is.
Okay.
And every time I go to my church, I look up there and see it. I say, I'm getting screwed again.
That's a penis. You're looking at the penis. Okay. Now, those are the two questions I had in my mind for this selection of questions.
Frank, don't ask me nothing like that on radio land, please, sir.
I got you out there now. You had me out there once before.
So now, my thing, what is this? Now, you say you get beat up in your brain and beat up. I'm sure this truth will beat you up. Dr. Prince, I got to reserve some time. We got about 15 minutes on air. I got to reserve some time for Dr. Prince to come into this discussion and take over here. And let me see if I can find him here. And take him off mute. I think I got it. Okay. Dr. Prince, we got 15 minutes here, so you got plenty of time to lead into this.
Basically, it's not a complication as to why we are. To the young man that spoke first, I direct this question to him. It wasn't that the initiation was not programmed in the right direction, because you said that they didn't make sense. Well, first of all, Scripture teaches us to come out from among them. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, this is what I want you to understand. History reveals the fact, y'all were talking about the good ship, Jesus. When they brought you over here, and then some indigenous people were already here, of color, that are black. You got to look at this picture of what they did in order to support the system that we're under. We're under a system. And no system is complete without laws. And they use us, you can use this as an example, they use you as a guinea pig to try this. And it was so good. We fell for it, so they fell for it. But it was initially designed to conquer the religious institutions, to come you under the umbrella of the universal church, which is considered in numbers and government as the real church. But you must remember, there was a lot of things that was taking place in the creation that had never been serpents. Everything you hit on was in Genesis, but Dr. Abbott just hit. Let me share this with you. So it looks so good. It's like I started flying back in the day. And every time I get on the magazines, and there's always have a crossword puzzle. And I could think of the words to fill in the crossword puzzle. Sometimes I took the magazine with me to fulfill the situation. The powers to be had enough intelligence to fix scripture into a crossword puzzle. So the truth can be found in the Bible. Young man said he learned about the single eye, but never was taught that. Well, it's a crossway puzzle. You got to understand that your Bible is written in codes. And it was scared to deal with all of it because it's too extensive for me to go on this avenue. I'm trying to cut it down and make a little apple pie out of it so you can understand what happened. It's no need of talking about nobody, because what they did was they dumbed us all down. They sent us to seminary. We were trained by some of the greatest professors. But they had one thing in the ingredients that they never did cover. And they said, we are made in his image. And they had another thing in there about flesh and spirit. That which is born of the flesh will be the flesh. And the only part that we mixed up was the fact we began to follow the flesh instead of following the spirit, because there's a very strategic point there about getting in the spirit. It's not an emotional humming. It's not a singing voice. He said, ye shall receive the Spirit of God, and the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The Holy Ghost is real. But you got to break the codes. Now, I'm going to give you something. If you want to use it, you can use it. And the author, one, he may be on the phone tonight. He can even give it deeper than what I'm going to give it to you. But we was talking about it just today. And I guarantee you, if you take your Bible right now, and go to every chapter in the Bible, and go to the 9th chapter, and the 9th verse, you're going to find him saying something to you. It's a code. And when I went to reading that today, it blew my mind. You know, you come into the knowledge, as teacher instructed us, said that, there'll come a time when he unseals it. Well, everything has been unsealed now. It's all, everybody now just letting it hang out. That's why we got so many, things that were not ethical in the past to transpire in the church, because they hung up laws there. And they determined the laws set up some laws for you to be abided by so they can control you. They let you get out of, if you're African-centric, they let you come out of slavery, but they kept you. I said like this. They took you off of the reservation, but they kept you on their plantation in knowledge. So what did you do? You serve them like they serve. They preach the same thing. Only thing of it is, they stole your identity. And they know they got your identity, and they know what's happening in the universe right now. They know that what they stole from you, they got to give it back to you. So I could go on and on discussing or arguing the point of emphasis, and I'm thankful that these brethren brought this clarity to the program, and the teacher gave some good instructions. But you got to understand that that the old man that used to put his hand on the side of his face and moan, he didn't moan for the hearing of the people, but he moaned because he knew there was something wrong. Because they even answered the question, blessed are they who moan, for they shall be comforted. The Spirit is comforting you now with your eagerness to know truth. In other words, the rabbit then got out of the pen and he's running all over the land. And I was glad to hear the young people say, well, you know, people, young people, they don't want to go to church. No, because what they did, inside of them, they recognized that they were made in his image. Now, let's not hang our hats up on the criticism of the J, because there are many other languages that were spoken, but they just choose to use that. I don't know why they use it. I use it. And the reason I use it, I was trained to use it. So anything you train to do, the first time I took a drink of alcohol, I was with some young men that said, go on, try it. So what they did, they trained us. And they controlled us. And it worked on us, so they said, let's train them all. Let's divide ourselves up and let them be Baptist, Methodist, Church of God in Christ. But we got the control over it because we got the keys.
But you know, Pastor, even before there was a Protestant denomination in the 1500s, because the Protestant denominations didn't come out until the church had gotten down the road 1,500 years, a whole millennial and a half. And by that time, the foundation had been set. And Pastor Abbott said something a moment ago, and I want him to come back because I don't know if I heard him correctly. But I want to make sure I heard him correctly. Pastor Abbott, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Bishop.
Now, you just said something as a Christian preacher, a pastor of several churches, historic churches. One of the churches you pastored, Cesar Clark pastored. And
Edward Jones.
Edward Jones. You're talking about great leaders in the church. You just made a bold statement. You said, based upon the J, you said that is because Jesus never existed. Now, that's a difficult pill, preacher, to swallow. That is a pill that will turn Christians away from you. People will tag you and say that you are crazy. What is the precedent and the footing and foundation of such a statement that you're making? What is that? What are the academics behind what you're talking about? Jesus never existed.
Well, you know, it comes to my mind, people, the Bible said, through crafty counsel, who made up this allegory, they murdered people all around the country. But at the same, they murdered people all around this world to set up this allegory in the beginning. And they did this with no fear of dying and not even seeing this Jesus fellow. But at the same time,
That's a great point.
Yeah. And at the same time, we as a people, we are afraid to deny the allegory when we find out. But the hard thing with us, you can't even begin to tell us this. We'll hang up the phone. We'll walk out the church. All of a sudden, you're a Muslim or you got some witchcraft. We won't study the entirety of the story. But at the same time, now these people are murdering the whole world in the name of this Jesus fellow. And at the same time, your Bible says, trust in him, and you're going to go to heaven. Now, where is all of these murderers going to hell? They still wealthy. They still rich. They killing me. I ain't got nothing. They got everything. I'm calling on Saint Jesus. And that's troubling to me. I'm calling him, Jesus. I call him better than they do. They can't call him like me.
You like to think
I can make you jump a bench calling him.
You like to think on the
I don't own nothing. I don't own no land. I ain't got no stores. I ain't got no CDs. I don't have no business. I'm a black Baptist preacher. My folks still suffering. They come to church, beg every time you look up, somebody want a love offer. You got to pay this, and they hollering, Jesus falling, I calling the ambulance. And my murderer on the other side, he's sitting in church singing, Jesus is on the main man. He ain't sweating. He ain't huffing. He's not puffing. He's not in my community evangelizing this Jesus. He don't knock on my doors to tell me about this Jesus. He gave him to me, but he won't even come to me and talk to me about him. He won't let me preach in his church.
You know why? Because he stole your mere existence. He tried his best to challenge God. He tried his best to build a tower. And when he discovered he couldn't build a tower, he gave it up.